Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who was to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." You may be seated. John the Baptist was in prison. He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. So what was he? He was a preacher. He preached to people. Now, this wasn't simply he made them feel bad. He rightly accused them as a messenger of God and their sin. The rulers of the Jews didn't like him, calling them out of their sin and to look to the coming Christ. There was real substantial content to his preaching. He called them a brood of vipers, after all. Every Sunday of this year of the church year, you always think of how many of you get Advent cards in the mail. You get Christmas cards, but you'll see it on social media going around, a good old Advent greeting card with John the Baptist on the front, all messed up hair, camel skin, maybe pieces of locust stuck in his teeth, and said, "Happy Advent, you brood of vipers, open it up, repent." That'd be a great card. We should do that. But the law of God he preached to them called them to repentance. Herod also didn't like John the Baptist. When John called him to repentance as well for his vile deeds. So John afflicted the comforted. And where did it get him? It got him thrown in prison. and eventually killed because of the words that came out of his mouth. But you see, people went out to hear John. They went out to hear his preaching. He drew crowds, and it was a sight to see. Jesus goes on further in Matthew's gospel reading. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus asked them then about this preacher. What did you go out to see with him? Why did the crowds gather on the banks of the Jordan? Why did people stand? Why did they listen? Well, he called them to examine their hearts and ask them, in a sense, Jesus did, what do you expect to hear from a faithful prophet of God? Were you just wanting a show? Were you wanting to be entertained? Were you expecting him to make you feel good? Were you bored and thought, hey, let's go hear this weird preacher in the wilderness? But Jesus shows them that John's job was simple. He was a messenger. He was a voice who was to prepare the way of the Lord. And what happened? What did this Jesus do to whom he was pointing? Well, we're told the blind received their sight. Lame people walked, lepers were cleansed, deaf hear, and even dead people were raised up from the dead. And the poor, they had good news preached to them. So it was just as all of those prior prophets in the Old Testament scriptures were pointing to, were leading up to John, they had said those very things. Now here John was pointing to them, here's the guy. The Lord made good on his promises, for he had come and he did all things well. Because Jesus was, Jesus is who he said he was. And who he was and is what the prophet said he would be. So in these words, God's faithfulness is shown. The Lord kept his word to his people. The promised one who would deliver his people had come. He is the one who confirmed who he is with miracles, giving sight to the blind, giving mobility to the lame, hearing to the deaf, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, and preaching the good news that the poor in spirit would inherit the kingdom of God, which is where true riches, eternal riches, are found. And that is what John the Baptist had been preaching. He was pointing people to Jesus. He was calling them to repentance, to turn from their sin and fix their eyes on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was pointing them to the one who even raises the dead, as Jesus himself would lay down his own life and raise it up again on the third day. And for John, who would die because of what he said for the sake of God, there's great comfort for him in prison and reason to rejoice. I saw a post on Facebook yesterday from the Indiana district president that said, it is better to be comforted by the gospel in your misery in the midst of sin and death than to be comfortable, content, and at home in the world that is perishing. And that's what we see. For you sitting here today and hearing this word of God, you take this all in. You listen to the preaching of John. You listen to those messengers who John was using to point people to us, to Jesus as well, and you take this all in and see what has happened. Jesus, the long-expected one, he's come. He's fulfilled all things as the word of God has said, as John testified to him. His work is complete, and now he continues to preach the saving word to all people. And so he calls you to listen to his word. He calls you to be disciples, students of that word, that it may dwell in you richly. He calls you to live it, to love it. So this third Sunday in Advent, God shows you what faithfulness looks like. And you see, it's seen through suffering. But here's the thing, there's joy even in suffering. Because through faith you see and have the one who suffered in your place and conquered death by his death and has risen again to new life. And so God is directing you to see your life today with this example of John the Baptist, who preached God's word and believed it. He was decreasing as Christ was increasing. And blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus, who's not offended by his word, who's not offended by his church, who's not offended by his teaching. So especially as this secular year is coming to a close, we're reminded of what is lasting and what is eternal. You see this long-expected Jesus, and you look to him as John pointed to him in his ministry and even suffered death for this confession. And you too are to be steadfast. Be immovable in this faith that God has given to you. Don't be comfortable in this world and its ways. No, repent of your sin and find comfort where true comfort is found. So when you hear these words of God then spoken to you, what does this all mean? Where are you to look? Well, follow the example of John and his disciples. Listen to Jesus. So what does he say to you? He says, you are baptized into Christ. So everything that was promised, everything that was fulfilled in Jesus, that belongs to you. And you see, that means everything. You find comfort in Jesus because he is your Redeemer. Sin, death, the devil, those things afflict you. They want nothing more than for you to suffer in hell for all eternity, to tear you away from Christ and his salvation. That's the reality of being in this world. That's the reality of the sinful nature which hangs around your neck and seeing sin and all of its consequences around you. But your Lord is the one who has come, who's come into this world, the one who is here even now and the one who is coming again. And so you have comfort as you behold your Lord. You rejoice in this life even now. From the intro, we heard those words of rejoice in the Lord always. And that's what God commands you to do, but he also gives you that reason to rejoice and that substance of that joy that gives you comfort. Fixing your eyes on Christ crucified and risen, you see that your sin is forgiven. You see that you stand righteous before the throne of God. You see that that righteous life, that sacrificial death, and that resurrection for your justification, all are yours in Jesus. They're given to you. And this first and foremost defines every aspect of your life as you go through this world. So it's no wonder then when you look at a word like rejoicing in the scriptures, it doesn't take long to see that's often in the context of experiencing times of suffering. Romans 5 says this about rejoicing. We hear, though through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So listen to the words. God calls you to look at Christ and see what you have in him now, and see what you have in the future. As we hear throughout this all Advent season, as Christians then, you're living in this world and looking towards that last day. And this is vitally important. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he wants you to find joy in rejoicing in things of this world which will pass away and not remain, as Jesus told you in the gospel reading last week when he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then do you remember what Jesus said right after that? But watch yourselves, let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Because your Lord is not distant. He's not far. He knows you. He knows the dangers you face to your faith in him as you are walking in this world as his people and looking towards that day when he comes again in glory. Your sinful flesh, which is grass, as the Old Testament reading teaches, wants to find joy in yourself too, and wants to find comfort and solace and the things which are contrary to the Lord and his word. But that false joy is always pursuing. It's never satisfied. It's always looking for something bigger, something more pleasurable, something that's the next great thing. But in the end, this joy is held before you like a carrot, always out of reach, and your life becomes consumed and enslaved to the elementary principles of this world, and you have run away from Christ, where true joy and freedom are really found. So listen to the Lord, heed his call, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And know who you are as God's word confronts you in your sin. Don't be fooled, but stay awake. Go running to Christ for forgiveness and rejoicing in what Christ has done for you and the new life he gives to you. For the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh will tempt you to run away from God and turn God's word into the unloving bad guy who doesn't care about you or your life. The word that just seems to be here one day and gone the next. The word that doesn't give that real substance of preaching like John the Baptist preached. No, say no to all of those things, because at the end of the day, when you give in to temptation, wherever and from wherever it may come, you will find there is no real lasting joy. God calls you and all people to repentance because he desires that you live. He desires that you have what you have and now have true joy found in Christ. Jesus clearly says in the gospel we're reading, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So as we walk through this world and we look towards the final day, we find our joy in Christ and comfort in him, and we hear his word and heed it. If Jesus and God's word offend you, you are the problem, not God. If you don't find joy in the word of God and the faithful proclamation of it and the faithful practice of it in the church, God is not the problem. Comfort and joy aren't found in yourself. They're found and known when you look outside of yourself and look at Christ. Will you always see this comfort and joy? Well, maybe not always in an emotional sense as the world describes joy and has taught us to understand it. But you see, when you see Jesus and when you see that he has done all your accomplished your salvation fully and freely, that he has given you eternal life and he will guard and keep you in this forever, there's lasting joy. This is your baptismal life, living out your baptism which daily drowns the old man and lives in the new life that you have been given. And God calls you to rejoice in the Lord always, and he calls you to look at him at all times. And you know what? The more you look to Christ and outside of yourself, the minute you try to not have all the answers, the more joy you see and find yourself rejoicing in any and every circumstances. It happens, and God does grant you to see this joy in the faith he has given to you. God's word becomes something for you as you go through this life too. It's comfort because you see God's faithfulness to his promises that he's made to you, and you know that each day the Lord is faithful and will always be faithful. And you start to define your life by what God says and have called to suffer all, even death for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, then so be it. You do it rejoicing every step of the way until your last breath on this earth, because you know you will be rejoicing before the throne of God forever with all of God's saints rejoicing with you. So take heart, dear people of God, this day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. People of God, it's Advent. The Lord has come. He comes to you now and he's coming again. The day for rejoicing is here. Jesus has redeemed you by his blood and you are an heir of eternal life. Always remember that. Always cling to that. Christ is yours and you are his forever. What a joy that is to know this and have this and to confess this in the world. You are a Christian. And in times of great happiness, you rejoice. In times of great sorrow, you rejoice. And the humdrum, day-to-day things of this life, you rejoice. When death stares at you, and your life on this side of the grave is coming to an end, you rejoice. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." That's why you rejoice, and it's in whom you find your joy. Jesus is here now, so listen to him. Take and eat his very body and blood given and shed for you. You have eternal life. You have a clear conscience to stand before God. Clinging to Jesus crucified for you, you see this great comfort, and you know what your future holds. What a wonderful thing to have a place before you today, in this third Sunday in Advent. God is yours. You are his. So strife, violence, sin, sickness, persecution, upheaval, the devil, and death, they've all been overcome. Their works will come to an end. John the Baptist lost his head for the sake of Christ. But you see, the Lord raises bodies from the grave to immortality and incorruption. Your future is a future of comfort and joy. Rejoice in him and rejoice as you look forward to that day when he comes again, not in the loneliness of a manger or hidden in his means, but when he comes again in great glory as only he can do. Rejoice in the Lord always. He is at hand. The Lord has come. He's here for you now in his means of grace, and he's coming again to take you to a comfort beyond compare that will last forever. That's what John was pointing to. That's what your Lord gives to you. That's what your future will hold. So people of God, rejoice and come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.